Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Well, my next guest has been the Irish ambassador to the UK, Malaysia and Germany, and for the last 5 years to the United States. Daniel Mulhall's last day on the job was Friday the 12th of August, and he had 5 interesting years in that role, and he joins me now to discuss his career. Good morning, Daniel.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me on. It's good to talk to you this morning.
Not at all. Thank you for joining us. And I emphasise the word interesting because you experienced Washington both during the Trump and the Biden administrations. Looking back on it now, what was the big difference between the two?
Well, of course, the big difference for me at least was that the Trump administration had a sort of an adversarial attitude towards the European Union, not towards Ireland. They were quite positive about Northern Ireland, and they were trying to be helpful in that regard, but they were quite negative about the European Union, and therefore we kind of got dragged into some of those situations.
And so would you say that people in the Trump camp when it came to Brexit were supportive of the notion of Brexit, and did that create difficulties?
Yes, they were supportive of Brexit, but they also recognised the complications that would arise on the island of Ireland. And they were also supportive of the retention of an open border on the island of Ireland. So from that point of view, I don't have anything critical to say about their approach to Ireland. They were quite reasonable with us. They always recognized they were in favor of Brexit, but they didn't want to see Brexit damage the cause of peace in Northern Ireland, because that cause is a bipartisan supported issue in America. Therefore, there's no percentage for any party to try and take a position that would jeopardize the peace in Ireland in any way.
And there were a couple of Irish-American allies in the Trump administration too, who I assume you were friendly with and could work with.
Yes, I had 3 in particular. Mick Mulvaney, who became the chief of staff to President Trump, Robert O'Brien, who became his national security advisor, and then Kevin Hassett, his economic advisor. And I was able to talk to all 3 of those quite a lot, and they were helpful to us in assuring us that our point of view was being taken on board in the White House and elsewhere in the administration. So that was all very positive. But of course, it's not restricted to people like that, because there were others also in the administration that I dealt with who had no Irish connections but were willing to listen to our arguments. For example, people in the United States Trade Representative's Office who were dealing with trade issues, and at one stage we got hit by tariffs on our butter and our cream liqueurs. I could talk to them regardless of whether they were Irish or Irish-American or not.
Of course. And then Joe Biden comes along, and I assume the water became significantly warmer.
Yes, well, I mean, it's not a partisan thing to say, but naturally you have to have your heart warmed by a president who describes himself as having an Irish background, is proud of his Irish heritage, quotes Irish poetry on a regular basis, and has for 40 years been a supporter of the cause of peace in Northern Ireland. So one of the highlights of my time in Washington was attending the inauguration of Joe Biden, because to see someone like that, with such a strong Irish heritage, becoming US president, was quite a highlight of my time in the United States.
And when it comes to the Good Friday Agreement, he's deeply committed to that process, isn't he?
Yes, because last year we marked the 40th anniversary of the Congressional Friends of Ireland, and I did some research, and I came up with the original statement issued when that Friends group was launched, and one of the signatories was a man called Senator Joseph R. Biden from Delaware. So from the very beginning of the congressional involvement and engagement with the cause of peace in Northern Ireland, now President Biden was involved, was a supporter of peace in Ireland.
Of course, we have to be careful here about, saying or relying on the fact that Joe Biden has his Irish roots and will always be solely on our side. That administration has a very strong relationship, Daniel, with the UK too, which it has to foster in mind.
Absolutely. I mean, and I would never doubt that. I would never challenge that. I mean, every U.S. administration has a strong relationship with a whole range of countries, and the U.K. is always a very strong partner of the United States, regardless of the political complexion of the president or the British prime minister. No, it's not a case of us trying to do down Britain in the United States. No, it's simply a case of us putting forward our own point of view and ensuring that the American administration, be it Republican or Democrat, understands fully the perspective that we bring to bear to the situation in Northern Ireland. And frankly, I have to say that over the years, going back decades, we've always managed to have a good relationship, a good rapport with administrations in Washington. And that was the case both with the Trump administration and now with the Biden administration, because we've been able to put across our particular point of view. It's not a case of us criticizing or trying to do down the British. It's simply a case of making sure that the Americans understand the important role that they can play in bringing, in helping to preserve the peace we enjoy in Northern Ireland.
Rolling back then a few years to when you were ambassador to the UK, that was across the Brexit moment, which it feels like we're still in, and we're awaiting the results of the Tory leadership contest at the moment. Have you a view on, you know, the expected outcome is that Liz Truss will win and become the next Tory leader and the next British Prime Minister. How do you think that her elevation will affect the British-Irish relationship?
Well, I don't have a view on who's going to win. We'll see that in a week's time or so. But what I would say is that every Prime Minister, once elected, has an opportunity to cut their own cloth and to try to make their own weather. And I think there's an opportunity for a fresh start in the relationship between the UK and the European Union. And I hope that the new Prime Minister, whoever it may be, takes advantage of that fresh start opportunity and moves forward to try to find a pragmatic solution to the issues surrounding the protocol, because I believe a solution of that nature is certainly available and it's within reach. And I think with a little bit of political will, I think that solution can be arrived at. But of course, that all depends on what direction the new British Prime Minister decides to go in.
Well, it might be in reach, but it doesn't seem as though she in particular is stretching to grab it, because we heard reports from the Financial Times last week that she's preparing the ground to use Article 16 of the Northern Ireland Protocol 10 days after she becomes Prime Minister, if that is what happens. I mean, if she goes ahead and does that, would you say that there's a rocky road ahead for the relationship?
As I said to you, I think there's always a new era starts with a new Prime Minister. And a Prime Minister has authority when they achieve office and they can move in different directions. I hope she doesn't get trapped too much by what she said in the past. But I do think whatever happens on the day she becomes, or he or she becomes Prime Minister, there is a new era begins. It's a new Prime Minister who has authority and is able to then make judgments. And I hope the judgments that will be made will be pragmatic judgments rather than judgments driven by ideological considerations to do with Brexit.
Of course, Boris Johnson did so well because it was get Brexit done that he went out on. That was his ticket for the election. It's not so much of a priority now. It's all about cost of living, really, isn't it?
Yes, I mean, I would hope that all governments in Europe now would be focused on the economic challenges facing Europe, and that includes Britain, of course, and also on the conflict in Ukraine, which continues to require a lot of standing shoulder to shoulder on the part of Europeans and Americans. And really, we can't afford, I think the world can't afford to have a row developing and deepening between the European Union and the United Kingdom. And that's why I hope and believe there's an opportunity for a fresh start once the new Prime Minister is elected.
Speaking of fresh starts, looking to the future now for you, you've published a book this year and you're going to be teaching in the United States.
That's right. I decided after 40 years of talking about James Joyce and Irish literature all over the world on my various postings, I decided that it would be good to put it all down on paper. So I published a book called Ulysses, A Reader's Odyssey, to mark the centenary of the publication of Ulysses. And then I decided that instead of just calling a full stop to my career, that I would try to have an extra chapter. America gives you great encouragement in that regard, because people don't stop working when they reach 65 or whatever. And therefore, I've managed to get New York University to take me on to teach Irish studies. And that's in a way a continuation of what I've been doing, because, you know, I've been talking about Ireland all over the world as ambassador to various countries and as a diplomat for 40 plus years. And now I'll be talking to students in New York and talking to audiences in New York about Ireland, but in a different way, not as an official representative of Ireland, but rather as somebody who has acquired a decent knowledge of our literature and history over the decades. And I'm going to try and impart that now to students in New York. And, you know, it's a big advantage to Ireland, which we don't realize properly, I think, is that so many people around the world take an interest in our affairs. I'm convinced that some of the students I'll be teaching in New York will have no Irish background whatsoever, but they will be brought into contact with Ireland through Irish studies, through their interest in our history and our literature. And I'm hoping to feed that interest over the next number of months in New York.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be a fascinating next chapter, Daniel. And thanks very much for joining us on the programme to discuss it all. That's Daniel Mulhall on his retirement as Irish ambassador to the United States. We're back after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.